But first, we turn to the investigation into cheating at Matt Kelly Elementary School. When the test results for that school came out in 2012, district officials immediately thought they were too good to be true. The percentage of fifth graders reading at grade level more than tripled compared to the year before. Math scores also went up, as did results for third graders. In April, the Nevada Department of Education concluded that cheating had occurred at the school, and the district suspended three employees. But union officials representing those employees said they were railroaded and that the state had no real evidence of cheating. Yesterday, the principal and vice principal of Matt Kelly returned to work at the Clark County School District. Stephen Augsburger is the executive director of the School Administrators Union, and he joins us now. Mr. Augsburger, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
The results at Matt Kelly improved dramatically in a single year, and investigators found a high number of erasure marks. How likely is it that both things could exist without adults changing some answers?
You know, I think that's for a solid, pervasive investigation to make that determination, and that's not what we had here. Much of this was based on the results of an erasure analysis, and the erasures were stunning. There's no question about that. There were lots of them. When you talk with school people, part of their strategy for assisting kids in improving on their test scores was to double-check, triple-check, and then check again answers. The other thing you have to keep in mind, we're dealing with a very, very small number of kids, maybe 40, 35 in each grade level. The whole school only had 240 kids, I believe, and there were about 120 of them that were tested. So when the erasure analysis come in, I don't know if you've seen one of those before, it tells you just one thing. It tells you the number of answers that were changed.
So you're saying that there's no evidence that adults may have changed answers?
There's absolutely no evidence anywhere. We had it examined by two testing professionals independent of one another, something the state didn't do. We had that work peer-reviewed. We brought them then together. Anything that they weren't in complete harmony on, we deleted from our report. So we feel very comfortable that our data is correct, and I feel very comfortable saying that the state's report started with the predetermined conclusion in mind. That predetermined conclusion was that answer sheets were changed after they were turned in, and it was done by adults in the system. If that's what really happened, I say then bring forward the evidence in the record that will show that that occurred. Otherwise, you cannot accuse people of cheating and lying and coaching and manipulating data.
Is it going to be enough to bring the two remaining employees back to the district?
No, it's not enough at all. And that's an important part of what we did. We wanted to make sure if people had done wrong, that they were held accountable for that. If they were not guilty of any wrongdoing, we wanted to see them back to work. But I think this whole thing is much bigger than that now, because this state investigation has been ongoing for approximately 2.5 years. And there has been a cloud, a very dark cloud of cheating, of scandal, of wrongdoing hanging over not just those two administrators, but every one of those students who worked themselves hard to create scores that they could be proud of. The harm that's been done to that school, I believe, is going to be irreparable. It's a very at-risk school. This action has made it even more at risk. Business partners they had withdrew because no one wants to be associated with the cheater, do they?
With that in mind, why would the state of Nevada want to declare this cheating? Wouldn't they want to trumpet good results in a school like Kelly Elementary?
Yeah, you would like to think that. But I think what happened, again, you know, you have to look always at the context in which things occur. And the context in which this occurred was a national context. And if you go back and look at other major cities in this country, we had many, many testing irregularity investigations. Atlanta, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. And in many of those cases, people were arrested, indicted. And in Atlanta, jury trials are beginning where they're predicting there'll be long prison sentences for some of those. So that's the context in which it occurred. And I can understand how the state got out in front of this. But once they got their report done and looked carefully at their data, they just decided to go the wrong direction. And unfortunately, I think they got caught up in the fervor nationally about testing irregularity and holding those responsible accountable. That's a noble aim, I believe. But it was undermined here because the report was shoddy. It was haphazard. It was inaccurate. It was filled with mistakes. It made claims that couldn't be supported by evidence in the record. And it has done harm to students, staff, and a community of people.
Stephen Augsburger is the executive director of the Clark County Association of School Administrators and Professional Technical Employees. Mr. Augsburger, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Osberger alluded to a cheating incident at some Atlanta schools. Heather Vogel is a reporter at ProPublica, and in 2012 she was part of a team at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that reported on those testing irregularities, and she joins us now. Heather, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
There was a pattern of test scores at Atlanta schools where cheating occurred. Can you describe that pattern?
Well, what we found looking at the data in 2009 was that many Atlanta schools had a very unusual pattern in their test scores, and that was either sort of rocketing up to the top from the bottom in the state. You had the scores shooting to the top and then and also in some instances dropping back down again. And we were looking at trying to follow classes of kids across the years. So we were not looking at this year's third graders compared to last year's third graders. We were looking at this year's fourth graders compared to how they did in third grade, because experts have found that kids' test scores tend to be relatively stable over time. And if there is improvement, it's usually fairly modest.
Now, in Las Vegas at Matt Kelly Elementary School, the percentage of fifth graders reading at grade level tripled from one year to the next. Would those scores raise a red flag for you?
What we used was a statistical measure to determine how unusual that sort of gain was compared to the gain for all the schools in the state. And that was a way of sort of controlling for differences that might have affected most of the kids around the state.
Now, a few minutes ago, we talked to Stephen Augsburger, who pointed out that Kelly Elementary is a fairly small school, about 30 to 40 kids at each grade. Does that leave room for the possibility of some naturally occurring wide swings in test scores?
Yeah, I would say, you know, not without, I don't really have any familiarity with this individual case.
Sure.
But I can say from our experience that we would exclude very small classes because of exactly that problem. Because you can see statistically that it's harder to get a very sort of a valid statistical measure of how wide the swings are when you have such a small sample. So that's something to be careful of.
Can you conclude just from the numbers that there is cheating going on at a school, or do you need a lot more than that to make the case solid?
Yeah, you could never conclude just based on numbers. It can give you a very good red flag that would point to a suggestion that the test scores are probably not representative or valid or necessarily showing exactly what you would hope they would show, which would be sort of the true measure of students' academics. And that could mean that there was either a problem the previous year when they were too low or the year when they were too high. But there are a number of other mitigating sort of factors or things you would want to also look into at the school. But again, you know, it's impossible to tell just from the numbers. What you really need to do is to do some very detailed interviewing and find out what's going on. Even when Atlanta did that kind of on-the-ground investigation, I think the first one or two times, they still did not get to the bottom of what was happening. They needed law enforcement, essentially, people with law enforcement powers to step in, not only to have sort of subpoena power to request certain documents, but also to have, frankly, the threat of being able to charge witnesses with lying to a law enforcement officer if they didn't tell the truth when they were being interviewed. That was when people started confessing, and that's when things started coming out.
Heather Vogel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.